Merciful Father, we bow here before you and we thank you for this opportunity to worship you and to lift your name up this day. We'd ask that you would be in each one of our hearts today, and may we be a blessing to you and a spokesman for you on this day. May we learn the things that we need to learn, understand the things that we need to understand, and be a pillar for you out in the public. We ask all these in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As you might have noticed in the bulletin, it says, pick your fruit. Well, as I was talking to the young children, you know, I mentioned about fruit. Well, the fruit of the Spirit was one of our lessons today. And I picked on one of those fruits, kindness, as you might have guessed. Mainly I picked on that because if you belong to social media at all, and if you get on social media at all, you discover that kindness has kind of slipped away from us. It's kind of disappeared. We don't see it much out in the public life. We don't see it in social media especially. So I thought, well, kindness would be a good thing to visit about and see if we can't understand it better. The fruit that we hear about every day is, of course, the grapes and apples and pineapple and that type of thing. But the best fruit that we know of is the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? Fruit of the Spirit is by far the better one. And kindness being one of those, I wanted to share that with you today. Well, when I was a young kid, just six, seven years old, we had an old family friend. His name was Amos Baldwin. One of the kindest men I ever met in my life. He was very sweet, very tender. He'd come and visit us, and my dad offered him a plot of ground. It was about a half an acre that he could put a garden in. So he'd put a bunch of garden things in there, and fruits and vegetables and various types of things. He taught us a lot with that gardening. You know, Dad was busy out in the field, and good old Amos, he taught us how to do gardening. And we got to enjoy the fruits and vegetables, of course, out of that too. One of the wonderful things that I remember was of his kindness was his prunes that he carried in his pocket. Well, today you think of prunes as, that's not that great of a treat. But when we were little kids, you know, sweets were not that common. We didn't get candy very often. You know, and a strawberry was a wonderful treat to us, you know. So he'd carry these prunes. He'd offer prunes to us every time he'd show up. And it was quite often he showed up. So we loved those sweet prunes. They were wonderful. Another kind item was he taught us all about the gardening and how to get nutrients into the soil. One of the things that stuck with me all these years is when you clean fish after you've been fishing, what do you do with the entrails and all that type of thing? We generally just throw them in the garbage or send them out in a field or throw them in the ditch or whatever, you know. He says, no. He says, you want to bury them in your garden. I said, bury them in your garden? Well, yeah. He said, fish entrails are full of nitrogen and phosphorus. So that stuck with me all my life, that if you ever clean fish, bury it in the garden. You got the best garden ever. So little things like that. And I remember when he was 90 years old, my dad says, well, for your 90th birthday, we've got to give you a special gift. You know, you're such a kind man, and you feed us with so many things. So he gave him a ride on his Harley motorcycle when the guy was 90 years old, grinning clear back to the ears. You know, he was so happy. Never had a ride on a motorcycle before. This was great. This great big ride. And, of course, the guy was like 7 feet tall, I'm pretty sure, probably 6 foot, but he looked like he was 7 feet to a little kid. So he's sitting on the back of a Harley, and you know how the back seat sits up high. Well, he was about this far above Dad's head riding on that sickle, so quite a memory to remember him grinning ear to ear and happy as a lark. And he got off there, and he was so happy. His best treat ever. Another thing I remember about him was he could catch carp down in the creek. And he'd bring them up, and he'd feed his carp. Well, you think he's eating carp, and it's just, yuck. That's all muddy carp. He knew exactly how to clean them. He knew how to wash them out. He knew how to get rid of the black streak in the back. Tasted just like Canadian walleye. I don't know how he did it. To this day, I have no clue how he did it, but it was wonderful. But he was a wonderful man. That's why I wanted to bring him up, that it's, kindness sticks with you. If you're kind to somebody, it's embedded into your soul. And that's what happened with Amos. All of his kindness just kind of stuck with me. So it's good to share whatever you feel for kindness towards somebody. Another thought of kindness is, if you remember in the 80s and 90s, you know, and a lot of us are old enough to remember those days, there was a little black thing called a VCR tape. Well, on the surface of that black little box, they'd put a little sticker on there that says, be kind, rewind. You know, it makes you think back to that era. And were we so self-absorbed and so self-centered that we had to be reminded to be kind and rewind? I would hope not. But yet, if you ever went into a movie store, there was many times people would bring that VCR tape back in and the person opened the box up and said, oh, it's not rewound. So they'd have to stick it in this other machine and they'd rewind it, get it ready for the next person. So kindness is a natural act that we should just naturally do. There was also in that same era, they had T-shirts that said, please be kind, rewind. You know, a meaningless T-shirt, but that was part of that era, I guess. They were just leaning on this kindness of being rewinding. Well, kindness is not just a simple courtesy. It's much more significant. There's an improv group out there that's called Improv Everywhere, and one of their actions is they go to the JFK airport, and when they find a cabbie standing there with one of these signs that says Mary or Ruth or George or whatever on it, you know, and they're waiting for this person to arrive on the airplane, then they will go over to this cabbie and they'll ask about what this is about. Who's this person? What are they doing? Are they coming back from vacation? Or are they coming home to visit? Or what is it about? And they find out this information. Then they hurry back to their place, to their van, and they get other signs they make up and say, welcome back, Mary. Glad to see you. Welcome home, whatever the case might be. And then they blow up balloons. They make a balloon bouquet. And they bring candy and treats and flowers and all kinds of things. And when this person arrives, then come walking in, there's about 10 or 15 people that will say, welcome home, Mary. It's fantastic to see you. How great it is. I'm so glad you're back. You know, this person is just blown away and shocked. But after a while, they realize, you know, this is kind of neat, being treated like a celebrity. It's kind of wonderful. So it's a kindness act that these people do just to give somebody a special day. There's another group out there called Life Vest Inside. And what they do is they work on what's inside of each person. So they go to schools and they ask the school if they will let us put on a program of kindness. So they put a kindness program on for the students and they teach them how to be kind, what kindness means, what the meaning of the word is. So that's pretty neat that somebody has take the time out of, and no payment, of course. It's their own gratis. So it's pretty nice that they'll do something like this. So what is kindness? I'm sure each of us has our own definition, don't we? We all know what kindness obviously has to be. Well, according to the Tyndale Bible Dictionary, kindness is the state of being that includes the attributes of loving affection, sympathy, friendliness, patience, pleasantness, gentleness, and goodness. Kindness is a quality shown in the way that a person speaks and acts. The interesting part is that it's more willful than it is emotional. This definition captures some of what kindness is, but kindness is so much more. Kindness is not an emotion. It's a choice. The Holman Illustrated Bible Dictionary translates the Hebrew word for kindness, chesed, as compassion and faithfulness to one's obligations as well as to relatives and friends. So according to them, the New Testament word for kindness is translated from the Greek word charestotes. The dictionary says this word can describe gentleness, goodness, uprightness, generosity, and graciousness. Notice that last word, graciousness. Who has the most grace? Our God. The New Testament also describes kindness as an attribute of God. Kindness is also a characteristic of true love. If you looked in your bulletin, there's a few scriptures that are included in today's lesson. So I'll read from a few of those, and I've offered that sheet to you so that you can go home and read the same thing. But I'll just pick on a few of them. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 that Naomi read earlier. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. In Ephesians 4, 32, it says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as in Christ God forgave you. In 1 Corinthians, it says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. In Acts 20, 35, it says, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work we must help the weak. Remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Let's go over to 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. So a lot of those verses state something about kindness, compassion, humility, and all those words are kind of tied together. So one of the most profound Old Testament accounts of kindness in the story of David and Mephibosheth. Try and say that three times fast. David had made a promise to his best friend Jonathan. He told Jonathan that he wanted to show him kindness to his family should anything ever happen to him. Well, just so happened later on, Jonathan and his father Saul, King Saul, were killed in a bloody battle. So David, which he could have gone out and destroyed any person that could have been an heir to the throne. But instead of doing such a thing, he remembered his promise to Jonathan, and he seeked out Mephibosheth, who is a relative of Jonathan. And he told Mephibosheth, I'd like to show you the great kindness that I promised to your father, and I will offer you King Saul's land, and I will also offer it to you that you can be at the king's table. So he got to sit at the king's table and got free land out of the deal, so that was awfully kind of David to show this through his promise. In the New Testament, we see this kind of kindness in Jesus telling the parable of the unmerciful servant. And a lot of us will remember that. In this parable, in Matthew 18:21-35, Jesus told of a servant who owed his master 10,000 talents. Well, 10,000 talents probably doesn't mean a lot to us these days, but I looked it up, and that amount is roughly $750,000 in today's money. Well, being a servant of somebody else, can you imagine having to pay $750,000 back to somebody? It's basically an unpayable debt. There's no way you're going to pay it back. So this servant begged and begged and begged, as the story goes, and finally the master forgave him and forgave the debt and said, you may go, your debt is forgiven. As the story goes, and you may remember, he stepped out of there and he went to a person that had served him that owed him it was a minor amount that this person owed him that would be something like $10 in today's money. And he beat the man up and told him, you owe me this money right now. Once the former master heard of this, he went after him and said, you wicked and evil servant, I canceled all the debt that you owed me because you begged. Shouldn't you have shown the same mercy to your servant as I showed to you? You know, if we're not kind, then obviously we don't understand the gospel. Kindness should lead us to kindness. Paul got to the heart of God's kindness in Ephesians 4:32-5:2, when he said, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as in Christ God forgave you. The thing about kindness is that none of us deserves it. And none of us can earn it. Kindness is free, and it's a merciful act. We should recognize kindness is not as easy or cheap, that it's not an easy or cheap novelty. And just as Mephibosheth, we deserve death. We're sinners. The king blessed him, and our king blesses us. We've been forgiven a monster debt that we can never repay because of God's greatness and his compassion. As people who have been shown such great kindness, we should, as Paul in Ephesians 4:32 said, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave us. Amen.